KCH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. They come here, oftentimes not legally, to build better lives. Their initial treatment leaves a lot to be desired.
A new report exposing severe physical and sexual abuse at immigration detention centers in Louisiana. The report, co-authored by a number of civil liberties groups, including the ACLU, highlighting inhumane conditions and alleging neglect and retaliation by guards. One detainee describing his hospital experience as a torture chamber after being assaulted by staff, leading to a suicide attempt. ICE claims it's committed to detainee welfare, but the report says these facilities should be closed as they cite systemic failures and violations of basic human rights. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A federal judge in Tyler, Texas, ordered a temporary pause in a Biden administration policy giving migrant spouses of U.S. citizens legal status and a path to citizenship. The government's national average price for regular gasoline down 7 cents in the past week to $3.31 a gallon. This is ABC News. A late summer heat wave in the nation's midsection and moving east.
Actual temperatures from, say, Kansas into parts of Iowa, right into Indiana, will soar into the 90s to 100 degrees early this week. And that could be the hottest temperatures the Midwest has seen so far this summer. But with the combination of that high heat and humidity, it will bring those heat index values up to 115 degrees in some spots.
ABC News meteorologist Melissa Griffin. A federal judge in New York City ordered Martin Shkreli, once dubbed Pharma Bro, to surrender all copies of Wu-Tang Clan's unreleased album to his lawyers by Friday. It's purportedly the only copy that exists. Shkreli sold it to pay investors in two of his failed hedge funds, a cryptocurrency outfit now owns Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, and accuses Shkreli of holding on to digital copies. The judge also ordered Shkreli to name anyone to who he distributed the music along with any revenues received. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's time to send kids back to school, and that means ensuring they're vaccinated to keep them and their classmates safe. Here's Melissa Kay.
The new guidelines for school vaccinations go into effect for the 2024-25 school year. These updates aim to provide better protection against serious diseases. Dr. Natalie Weeks is a family medicine physician.
Back in the day when we didn't have vaccines for these illnesses, unfortunately, children did pass away from these diseases, and we are very lucky that we have these vaccines.
Dr. Weeks encourages you to talk with your child's primary care provider.
And money from the National Park Service will help some historic sites here in Wisconsin. Grants will help maintain places like Ringling Brothers Circus Headquarters in Baraboo, the National Soldiers Home Governor's Mansion and Chapel in Milwaukee, and the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Wauwatosa. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
The Badgers ready for a new season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers host Western Michigan on Friday night. Wisconsin finished with a disappointing 7-6 record last season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
And if I would say anything about last year, that's where I think after week one and two, I did recognize one of our shortcomings was our ability to problem solve. As things changed within a game, as things changed from the start of a game, because, I felt like last year we were really good with the things we prepared for. but we were not nearly as good with the things that we hadn't prepared for and to be able to problem solve. And I think we'll get a great look at that in week one.
NFL, the Packers have a new backup quarterback. They traded a 7th-round pick to the Titans for Malik Willis, who now has to learn a new playbook by next week.
Without preparation, you never feel comfortable. You never feel like you're able to go do your best. I just want to take every day like this my last and just learn as much as I can, retain that information, and go out there and try to do it the next day.
That's the Packers' new backup quarterback, Malik Willis, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and storms moving off to the east of us. Clouds, some patchy fog in the overnight. Look for lows in the mid-60s by sunrise. Showers and storms for Tuesday morning. Then we'll see highs warming to the upper 70s. It's 69 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser tells us about another massive crop of Wisconsin cranberries expected, and a Canadian railroad strike could impact farmers.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Great to be with you on this Monday night. Welcome to Nightlight. I am your host, Pete Schwabba, and it is a gorgeous night in the state of Wisconsin, wherever you are joining us from, and however, be it the stream, the radio, the website, civicmedia.us, it is great to have you. And great to be back on the air after a long lazy weekend. I did not do much. We have some stuff going on at home. I had to move a washer and dryer over to my parents' house. They're having this auction. And I've made jokes on the show before that I'm not like an outside guy, but I didn't even know how to undo a strap on my friend's truck that was holding the back gate up or door, whatever you call it. So the strap was there. I thought if I undid it, it was going to snap and hit me in the face. So I lugged a dryer, a washer and dryer with a dolly to my parents' house. Like the equivalent of like a 3-block walk, but I thought, you know what? I need the steps anyway. That was my day. That was my weekend. I had a lot of stuff like that this weekend. It was a really strange kind of just do nothing weekend. I don't know. Conrad, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Are you? Good.
Well, it's a little hot out.
Good for you. Put hair on your chest.
Did you drink your water today?
I did, yeah. I don't mess around with the heat like this. But that's part of the bummer is I sat inside most of the day with AC going because I had a lot of work to do anyway. But, that was kind of my day. What did you do this weekend? Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, so I went to the Packer preseason game against the Ravens.
Okay.
That was pretty fun. Other than that, I just kind of chilled at home.
That's like the last preseason game. Like,
yeah,
you'd be lucky if you see third stringers in that game, right?
It was actually it was cool because you got to see who's gonna be the QB2. They really put them to work the competition there.
The Packers have a QB2 in your opinion?
Well, they just traded for someone who's gonna be a QB2 now, so I don't know what's gonna go on now.
They didn't consult you either, did they?
They did not. Okay. I would have said something different.
Yeah.
I would have said Pratt's our number two.
I see a letter to the editor. My name is Conrad Krieger, and have I got some suggestions for you? Well, it's good. It was supposed to be really hot this week, so we'll just sit in on the radio. Gather the whole family around the radio, folks, like they did back in the old days. That was when America was America. People gathered around, dad smoking a pipe. It was great if you were like a dad. Like you'd come home. Your wife would have your slippers waiting for you. Hey, you know what I saw this weekend? There was a movie on TV. I was flipping around. This cracks me up. It was a dude going to the door to answer the door. It was this black and white movie. He had full pajamas on, a bathrobe, and slippers.
Okay.
Who the hell How long has it been since guys wore something like that in their own home? Single guy, a bachelor, like in his 40s, full pajamas, slippers, and a bathrobe.
That's some dedication right there.
What is the deal? Like, well, either that or how scared is he of his own body? I mean, come on. Even just pajamas is one thing, but like,
yeah,
the bathrobe, like, I don't know. Do you have a bathrobe?
I haven't had one since I was like 10. And I don't even think I used it that much with pajamas either. I just, I wear an old t-shirt and shorts and then I'm good.
Right. I wear denim shorts to bed every night with no underwear. It's not very comfortable. I'm not going to lie.
My favorite thing from How I Met Your Mother is when Barney reveals what he wears for pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a suit pajama.
It's a what?
It's a suit, but it's pajamas. So it's all silk.
But it looks like a suit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
And he says, how are you even comfy in that thing? He goes, I'm not. I have to wear it perfectly still.
I'll have to check that show out. I think we need to work bathrobe into one of our questions, though, coming up at some point, because it seems to be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too into it. Let's save that question for at some point this week. We'll do something bathrobe related. But, man, that cracked me up. I'm like, wow, that was – talk about a different time. Well, I'm home. I got to take all my clothes off and put on a whole new set of clothes that are more comfortable with a bathrobe. Like, he's wearing a bathrobe at home. He's home by himself.
The only thing I can see is the slippers. Sometimes the wood gets cold or, you know.
Sure.
But that's it. I don't see the bathrobe.
I have moccasins. And sometimes that's all I wear. I just go naked with moccasins. It's a good look. I live up on a hill. No one can see me. Hey, fun show tonight. I'm glad you're here. We've got some good stuff planned. Chris Foran will be here at 7:35, the entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's always fun to talk to Chris. We haven't talked to Chris probably in well over a month. So I want to see what Chris has been up to. He's written some really good articles. One about Fonzie that I thought was kind of cool, the bronze Fonz in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that. And he wrote an article about Donahue with an interesting fact about Phil Donahue and a connection to Milwaukee that we'll talk about too. So I'm excited to talk to Chris. That's at 7:35. Then we have another one of Wisconsin's very own and sort of Minnesota's very own comedian Mary Mack will be here. She is a native Minnesotan and Wisconsinite. She must have a lot of conflict going on. But she is on a tour right now of Wisconsin. Mary will join us at 8:20. We'll hear a little bit of her comedy in a few minutes. She's Mary's great. She's very funny. And I'm excited to talk to her. I've never met her before. We got some good birthdays today. Macaulay Culkin turns 43. And our question tonight is, what's your favorite one-hit wonder? Macaulay Culkin is kind of a one-hit wonder, I would say. He's done other stuff. But really, Home Alone is all he's known for these days. He turns 43. Melissa McCarthy turns 53. Yesterday, it was Billy Ray Cyrus's birthday. Miley Cyrus's dad, who had the hit Achy Breaky Heart back in the early to mid-90s. So Billy Ray Cyrus turns some odd years old today. I'm not sure. It's not important. The important thing is it leads us to tonight's question, and that is, what is your favorite one-hit wonder? I remember in the early 90s, Achy Breaky Heart was everywhere. It's one of those songs, like the first time you hear it, you kind of tap your foot and you go, oh, okay, that's kind of okay. And then by the 8 millionth time you hear it, you want to take hostages. And they played the heck out of that song. Achy Breaky Heart. So that is that made me think of tonight's question. And that is, what is your favorite one-hit wonder song? There's some good ones. Sometimes people just have one great song in them. And hopefully they make a lot of money from it and they can retire. Not always the case, though. I love the I looked up a bunch of one-hit wonder songs before the show, and one of them was Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy, to which The Simpsons parodied. It's a radio voice. They played the end of the song, and the DJ says, that was the latest from Bobby McFerrin called I'm Worried, Need Money. So Bobby McFerrin's hit is on there. Don't Worry, Be Happy. There's lots of them. There's tons of great ones to choose from. I'm going to say, I think my favorite one-hit wonder, I'll do a top three. Number one, safety dance. Love it. Takes me back to high school dances at Marinette Catholic Central. Men without hats. Some guys I knew in my class. I didn't really hang around with them, but they were really funny dudes. Came up with this funny, goofy dance. My friend Dave Dugan always makes reference, a fellow comedian who is from Indianapolis, references safety dance, funny stuff. So I'm going to say safety dance. I'll also put in my top three Jump Around by House of Pain. And then maybe either Take on Me or I'll Melt with You. Ooh, 99 Luft Balloons is on there too. That's a great one. Conrad, you got a favorite?
I can't really think of, maybe I'd say Jump Around's up there. I honestly didn't know they were a one-hit wonder.
Well, I mean, Aha's on here for Take on Me. They also had another sort of hit called The Sun Always Shines on TV. That was a good song. So I don't know if they're like full-blown one-hit wonders, but that's what they're known for. Timbuk3, Pat McDonald was on the show a few months ago in studio. He was fun, and he, future so bright, got to wear shades. We might have to put Pat on that list. He lives not too far away from here. Also, Crash Test Dummies. That was a hard song to say, though, when you ask people if they like the song. Hey, you like that song? Those are my top three. Safety Dance, Jump Around, and I'll go, I'll Melt with You. You have one you hate, though, right, Conrad?
I do. Do you want to listen to a little bit of it?
Do I?
I think you do.
Not too much if it's terrible. Yeah, go ahead.
What does the fox say?
God.
Okay. I won't play any more of it for you.
I was at a wedding, and that song came on, and people lost their minds.
Really?
And I had not heard it before. I you know, was at a point where I wasn't listening to the radio. I did not know what was going on. What the hell is that song about? I never, like, Googled it. I just didn't care.
It is terrible. It is absolutely. The first time I heard it, I was like, why is this? How did they get so popular with this song? Never made a song after. They're just done.
I don't get it. That's a bad one, though. But the song tonight, Conrad's not exactly bucking for promotion over there, bringing us down with the bad one-hit wonders. What is your favorite one-hit wonder song? Let us know. Our text line, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, I highly recommend it. You got all your great current event and political shows during the day. Your favorite host, all you have to do is click the icon. Nightlight is on statewide, so just click the icon right next to the show and let us know what you think. And fire away. As usual, you can comment on anything I'm talking on throughout the course of the show. On the Andrew Genzer is listening on the stream. One of my favorite people. And he put an inside joke on there. I don't think I can repeat on the radio, but his message is just Peter in. So if you use your imagination, you can probably sense where the genesis of that thought comes from. Andrew Genzer, awesome. Thanks for listening, buddy. I just did the Bobby McFerrin thing. I don't know if Andrew heard that, but he and I used to joke about, he's a big-time Simpsons fan, probably bigger than me even. Well, not taller, but more enthusiastic, let's say. All right, so Mary Mack, comedian Mary Mack, is here at 8:20. She's on a tour of Wisconsin right now. She's been on the Mark Maron podcast, Conan O'Brien. She's a big star, folks, and she's here tonight at 8:20. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here at 7:35. We're going to talk movies and TV and all kinds of fun stuff, and I'm going to read your texts. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you. And her face is like a sail's white so fair. Have you seen a lady?
Somebody pulled up auction photos of like an appliance. I think Cam from Appleton is saying this is what I moved today or whatever, but it's not. I don't. He's gonna. What is that, Conrad? It's a like a piece of pizza. It's a slice in a.
it's
boiling water.
Yes,
I don't know what kind of subversive craziness happens in that house or how you fix your pizza, Cam. That's terrible looking. I'm probably missing the joke. And then Steve from Florida says, Kung Fu Fighting is a great one-hit wonder in honor of Bruce Lee. Agreed. I mean, I don't know if it's great. I don't think I ever need to hear Kung Fu Fighting again, Steve, but it's a big hit. It was on everywhere.
I used to hear that in my grocery store.
Really? Yeah. See, where I grocery shop, they have an access to a catalog of music that you only have heard 30 years ago, and it went away. And honest to God, I don't know where they find the music. It's like Night Ranger B-sides. And I probably shouldn't shop there anymore to protest, but I do. Tom in New Berlin from the 414 says, Pete, was the terrain flat? No, Tom, I... with the dryer when I was pulling the dryer? No, it was a little hill there. Tom's just being contrarian. I don't get it. No, there was a little hill. And I had to ease my way down, Tom. I stretched and I did yoga, so I was ready for this excursion today because I knew my body was going to be contorting in different ways. Robert from McFarland says, sad to say my favorite one-hit wonder is The Freshmen by The Verve Pipe because they are my favorite band of all time, and I love all of their music, but they didn't have another hit. Verve Pipe was, I think, Bittersweet Symphony. It's a great song. Yeah, but I have, honestly, Robert, I don't know any of their other work. It's kind of a drag. Sounds like they got some good stuff. Tom from New Berlin, Mr. Wendell, Arrested Development. Is that the bathrobe? Is he referencing the bathrobe?
I think he might be.
Okay.
I've never seen Arrested Development, so.
Yeah, just to test it out, when I get home tonight, I'm putting on pajamas and a bathrobe, maybe some underpants, and a nice slipper, and I'm going to see how I feel. Maybe we'll bring it back. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite one-hit wonder is Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. Great song, Anna. I heard it played once at the end of a funeral. It was a perfect song for that occasion. I've heard that song. Somehow Spirit in the Sky is always on at the right time. Like, that's a great movie song. So, yeah, that's a great one, Anna. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in. The song Mickey was really popular in the 80s. Yes, Tony Basil. One of my friends' nickname was Mickey, so we listened to it a lot. How old did that get, Paula? Jameson from the 814 says, best one-hit wonder, D-Light, Groove is in the Heart. I remember that one. No, not really. Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come on, Eileen. You know, we had Steve Segrin on the show a couple weeks ago, and he broke down his list of the worst, it was the songs I never need to hear again. And Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come on, Eileen, is on that list. And I know where he's coming from, but I still love that song. Even when we play it here on intros, I don't get sick of it. I like it. Per Movies works two ways, as Colin Hanks really don't do much else besides the TV show, the movie That Thing You Do. Oh, that was a good movie, yeah. that thing you do about a Beatles era band called, who was a one-hit wonder, pronounced The Wonders, but it was written as, I think they pronounced it The Oneaters. That was kind of funny. From the 608, play that funky music. White Boy, White Cherry, great tune. Yes, Bittersweet Symphony is what Robert was referencing by The Verve. I like that song. Although I remember laying awake in a New York hotel room and I had that song in my head all effing night, Robert. And it's a great song. But when you have that as a memory, it can taint it. Tom, New Berlin. Can ooze as a bumper. Conrad, help. Tom, we need clarification.
Is that a song?
I don't know.
Can ooze.
Maybe it's one of Tom's creations. He's trying to work his way through it right now. He's pecking the, tickling the ivory. He's trying to figure out where to take his new hit. He's trying to write a one-hit wonder. That shouldn't be your goal.
Yes.
I want a one-hit wonder. No, you want a whole catalog.
No, one-hit wonder, you make your money, and then you're good.
If you make money.
Well, if it just keeps getting played, you know, time at grocery stores in 30 years.
Yeah, but people get ripped off. They don't see any of that coin. So, yeah. All right. So, great answers. Keep those answers coming. What is your favorite one-hit wonder song? That is tonight's question. Let us know. Keep them coming. Here's something I saw that was interesting. Everybody thinks Hydrox, you know, the cookies, are a ripoff of Oreos. It's actually the other way around. Hydrox were around first. Oreos ripped them off. But kids all over America, when their mom would bring home Hydrox, thought their mom was a cheapskate and didn't like the imitation knockoff Oreos. Honest to God.
I'm so confused what Hydrox are.
It's an Oreo.
It's an Oreo, but just the same thing?
It's the same thing, but it tastes stale.
Yeah, that sounds
Oreo
great.
Perfected it. It's kind of like what Dennis Leary did to Bill Hicks. He thought, I can take that act and make it more mainstream. And he tried to do that, but he wasn't nearly as funny as Bill Hicks. And yeah, I don't know. Hydrox, they're fine. Whatever. I don't eat Oreos anymore anyway, but they debuted in 1908.
Wow.
And Oreos ripped them off just 4 years later. Somehow Hydrox is still around. I thought that was kind of cool. Do we have time to hear some Mary Mack, or should we hold on to that?
We should hold on to it.
Okay. I do want to talk. I want to hit one more thing. Farmers Only.
Yes.
I saw this because I was listening. It's Dave Chappelle's birthday, maybe over the weekend, and he did a joke about Farmers Only. What do you say, Conrad? We sign you up for Farmers Only and send you out into the dating world.
Well, I think they'd seem to be like, this guy is definitely not a farmer, first of all.
No, you're like the radio producer. Like, you're the, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's, you don't want to dupe anybody, but it would be funny to see, like, I don't know. Have you ever done a dating app?
Not Farmers Only. You know, I think it's funny, though, where you see those ads for that sometimes. Like Hulu.
Like during game. Oh, really?
I see it on Hulu a lot. Yeah. And I think I've seen it on Peacock, too.
First question. They would take one look at you in a baseball hat and high top thing. What part of Farmers Only don't you understand? Where are your Wranglers and your boots?
I'll do one photo shoot with boots and the Wranglers, and then we're good.
Here's the other thing you can do. We looked into the Hoctua Girl membership. If you want to be in her club, it's pretty involved. This isn't just you sign your name and she's your friend. I thought I could get to know her and sort of, you know, kind of be in her inner circle. Yeah. That's not happening. Tell us how much it was, Conrad.
It was $200.
$200. Buku Dolores. Are you kidding me?
And it was, for the VIP, it was
$400. VIP? Yeah, I'm in the VIP for the Hoctua Girl. That makes you look so pathetic when you tell other women, and if you tell other guys, it's just not even... Who's joining? If you're a member of the Hoctua fan club, let us know. Text us that, too. But in the meantime, text us your favorite one-hit wonder song. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is coming up next, and Mary Mack is here at 8:20. We got comedy and showbiz tonight on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. They come here, oftentimes not legally, to build better lives. Their initial treatment leaves a lot to be desired.
A new report exposing severe physical and sexual abuse at immigration detention centers in Louisiana. The report, co-authored by a number of civil liberties groups, including the ACLU, highlighting inhumane conditions and alleging neglect and retaliation by guards. One detainee describing his hospital experience as a torture chamber after being assaulted by staff, leading to a suicide attempt. ICE claims it's committed to detainee welfare, but the report says these facilities should be closed as they cite systemic failures and violations of basic human rights. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A federal judge in Tyler, Texas, ordered a temporary pause in a Biden administration policy giving migrant spouses of U.S. citizens legal status and a path to citizenship. The government's national average price for regular gasoline down 7 cents in the past week to $3.31 a gallon. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's time to send kids back to school, and that means ensuring they're vaccinated to keep them and their classmates safe. Here's Melissa Kay.
The new guidelines for school vaccinations go into effect for the 2024-25 school year. These updates aim to provide better protection against serious diseases. Dr. Natalie Weeks is a family medicine physician.
Back in the day when we didn't have vaccines for these illnesses, unfortunately, children did pass away from these diseases, and we are very lucky that we have these vaccines.
Dr. Weeks encourages you to talk with your child's primary care provider.
And money from the National Park Service will help some historic sites here in Wisconsin. Grants will help maintain places like Ringling Brothers Circus Headquarters in Baraboo, the National Soldiers Home Governor's Mansion and Chapel in Milwaukee, and the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Wauwatosa. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. This summer has been all drama at the box office, at least when it comes to returns. After a slow start back in May, things really picked up when Bad Boys Ride or Die hit the big screen, and things escalated from there with Inside Out 2 becoming the highest grossing animated film ever, and Deadpool and Wolverine becoming the highest grossing R-rated movie ever. A huge summer for Disney Studios, especially since Deadpool and Wolverine is not dead. After finishing in second place last week, thanks to the release of Alien Romulus after 2 weeks at the top, Deadpool and Wolverine regained the number one spot at the box office this past weekend after pulling in $18 million. Alien Romulus came in second place with just over $16 million. It Ends With Us, the surprise Blake Lively Channing Tatum hit, came in third place with $12 million. Tatum had two films in the top five this week, as Blink Twice came in fourth place with just over $7 million. Faith-based film The Forge finished out the top five with just over $6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. A few thunderstorms tonight, 57 tomorrow, partly cloudy, and a bit cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean,
at your
it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vita might get Swift boated, all right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Join us as the Devils reunite. Crudy is excited because he's been credentialed for the Donald Trump Town Hall in the Cross coming up on Thursday. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devils Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Missed exciting entertainment with Pete? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, civicmedia.us, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, here's your host, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Does Todd Michaels have like the smoothest voice ever?
Yes, he does.
That was him, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. We just were informed, unfortunately, that Mary Mack had a family issue. So, you know what? I just realized, first of all, our hearts go out to Mary. She's dealing with a problem with her family, a health issue, and we hope everything is okay. We'll reschedule Mary whenever she is available and feels like, you know, taking part in some ass jackery on the radio. So we'll reschedule Mary. And this is our first family crisis in 9 months that a guest is canceled. Like, I think we've had a guest cancel one other time, but I'm kind of amazed that it hasn't happened more.
Yeah.
Am I saying something inappropriate right now? He looked really nervous over there. Like, yeah, move on. No, but Mary, we don't know Mary, and we were excited to talk to her, but we'll reschedule her. She's very funny, and I cannot wait to have her on the show, but I would like to have her on at a better time when she's in a better mood, and all the best to Mary and her family. So right now, we are going to talk about... should I have said that? Because now we're bringing Chris Foran in, and it's like... this is like the time in The Simpsons when Smithers went up and told the whole crowd before Homer did stand-up comedy, I want to tell everyone here that a small puppy was run over in the parking lot. And now it's time for the comedy stylings of Homer Simpson. So not quite the same, but I feel like we kind of undercut Chris. So we'll build him up here. We'll bring him in. Chris is great. He's a frequent flyer here on Nightlight. He is the entertainment reporter for one of the entertainment reporters for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm fine, Pete. How are you?
You've had better intros.
A few. I've had worse, believe it or
okay? not. As long as we're not the worst, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's a low bar.
All right. Very good. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks. So I read some of your... It's so fun when I have you on because I get to scroll through all your articles. And you write about such cool stuff. You have a really fun job. I mean, I like what I do here. I get to talk about stuff that interests me. You wrote an article recently about Donahue and his connection to Milwaukee. And Phil Donahue, who just passed away last week at 88. Can you tell us a little bit about his connection to Milwaukee? It's kind of cool.
Well, you know, he started as just doing a local daytime talk show in Dayton, Ohio. And he did something that nobody had ever done, which was, you know, go into the audience and ask the audience, ask people questions, things like that. And didn't shy away from controversial stuff, but it was it was talking. It wasn't, you know, trumped up drama or anything. And
right.
Then he moved the show after a couple of seasons to Chicago. And not long after he moved to Chicago, I'm not 100% sure how this got together, but he decided to bring the show up to Milwaukee during Summerfest for a full week. And he did it for 4 years, 74 to 77. And it was at a time when Summerfest was trying to, you know, gain its national footing. And so it was a good deal for both of them. And sometimes they'd be interviewing acts that were at Summerfest. I think the first day he was here, he interviewed Seals and Crofts and they played on the show. And but then he would also have, like, you know, his usual controversial guests. I thought it was really odd that he had Bob Guccione from Penthouse magazine on the show at Summerfest, which, you know, has always marketed itself as a family event, not exactly his turf. It was kind of, I'm sure, a good deal for both of them. He didn't do a lot of that later on, I don't think, because that was the period where he's starting to become, you know, huge. And then I think a few years after he did stopped doing Summerfest, he moved it to New York.
It was weird because I read last week after he passed away that it was when he brought the studio audience in. And I think that happened after he moved to Chicago and he started talking to them that his show just like really took off. It was like interactive before that was a thing. But how taking a show like that to Summerfest? I mean, I remember doing stand up at Summerfest and there's no intimacy. Yeah. It's not a good venue for that. I can't imagine.
No, it's actually an awful venue for comedy. They used to have for decades, they had a comedy stage.
Right.
And And, you know, the comedians would get ruthlessly heckled, and it was, you know, you can imagine what it's like. And but they did that. They did TV shows, live TV shows, the Summerfest a lot in the 70s.
Really?
Channel 12, the local ABC affiliate, had a, and a lot of cities had, they had a show called Dialing for Dollars, hosted by the lovely and talented Rosemary Ross and Howard Gurnett. And they would do that show there every weekday during Summerfest. And people were generally, you know, respectful. It wasn't like, you know, today where people would run in front of the camera and stuff like that. And
right.
It was all live. That's the part that's amazing. The Donahue shows aired live in Milwaukee. They were done taped like for the rest of the country, but in Milwaukee, they aired them live, which is kind of remarkable today. It's a different time. I think that kind of stuff happened.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was like people are on their best behavior. I remember used to go there a lot in those days, and people were just as drunk then as they are now. But this is also during early in the day, so it's, you know, you got to be pretty focused to be drunk by noon at summer.
Before day drinking was cool. It's strange because, like, I noticed last week I was talking to someone about Donahue and all these like parodies almost that came after him, all set in Chicago. Ricky Lake, Jerry Springer, all these like kind of, they kind of did what he did and made it hack, except for Oprah Winfrey. Then she comes and takes it to another level. Who do you, and right. Oprah is very gracious. And she said, you know, Oprah doesn't happen without Phil Donahue, but
this is true.
Who is the king there? Or the queen, I guess you'd say, Oprah or Donahue, or is it hard to choose?
Well, I mean, I think the big difference is that, and I think this is partly because of the way she does her stuff. I think Oprah, I mean, Oprah became a brand, became an empire. He was never, whether he was interested in that or not, there was a time when his career kind of ebbed, you know, and even long before he retired, and he started trying to do more Springerish stuff and things like that. I mean, I think she just became so big. I mean, she did a lot more of like lifestyle stuff too, and than he did. And, okay. she was your friend. He was just the guy who was interesting, I think. And I think that's a big difference.
And she gave away cars, and Donahue gave away unicycles in the late 70s.
Well,
and I think that
but she did that kind of stuff later. I mean, she did that for such a long time. It's hard to, I mean, he makes her possible, you know, like you can make, some people made the case, you can say that Bing Crosby makes Frank Sinatra possible, but Frank Sinatra makes Elvis Presley possible, and that changes everything.
Right.
It's that kind of thing.
There's I talked about this last week too. There's a hoaxer named Alan Abel. Mm. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Have you ever heard
of him? That sounds familiar.
Okay, so he just, his whole adult life, he played jokes, and he started a campaign to clothe animals because he thought it was obscene that naked animals were walking around, and people started sending him money, and he had to give the money back because that's against the law. But he did a hoax on Donahue, and I'm trying to get his daughter on the show because she made a documentary about this guy. Fascinating guy. He put... Mm. During a Donahue show where it was elderly gay men, I think, were the subject. And these guys would answer questions, and they would, you know, they would be affectionate with each other. And Alan Abel placed people in the studio audience who started fainting on the Donahue show. So Donahue cleared the whole studio audience out, thinking something was coming in through the vents or something, but it was all just a big hoax. I was just wondering if you were aware of that or if you'd ever heard of that.
His name rings a bell. It doesn't surprise me. There was a period there where that stuff was a little Wild West, and you could kind of get away with that stuff. You'd have fake guests on shows, and you could call, you know, and radio call-in shows where you'd call in and you'd make up a person, you know.
Right. My guest is Chris Foran. He's the entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he writes for the Green Sheet and all kinds of really cool entertainment exposés. Check out his work, and he's a really fun guest. We love having on here at Nightlight. You also did an article recently about the Bronze Fonz.
Right.
And I didn't realize, like, I've seen the Bronze Fonz. It's pretty cool. But that was a big deal. Like, they had the whole cast. I didn't realize that from Happy Days there. Were you around then, Chris? And were you covering?
I was in town. I was at the paper, in fact. It was a big deal in its own way. I mean, it was a massive tourism thing. Dave Fantle, who was with Visit Milwaukee at the time, put this thing together. Dave has really done a great job over his life of networking with celebrities and entertainers, and he knows all these people, and he put this thing together. And they didn't get everybody in the show, you know, no Ron Howard, but they got pretty much everybody else. It was a lot. I think everybody was alive then. And if you look in the story, I think it mentions there's like, you know, the streets were lined with 500 people, which is a little bit smaller than, you know, some of the other parades we've had downtown. But it came at a time, and this is only older people might remember this even, but Milwaukee had sort of a problem with public art in those days, in the early part of the 20th century. We had, or 21st century, we had there was a proposal to build this big sculpture called the Blue Shirt down at the airport. And people were upset that they thought it was mocking Milwaukee's working class culture and things like that. And it was, I mean, this is a like front page debate for months. It was just bizarre. And you know, people debate that the sunburst downtown by the DeSuvro, the orange thing, you know, and people, Milwaukee always has a complicated relationship with public art. And then when this got proposed, there were people who were dismissive of it, but then it happened, and you know, everybody loves it, you know, and it was that kind of thing, you know. And Milwaukee, when Happy Days and especially Laverne and Shirley were on television, Milwaukee had a very ambivalent relationship with those shows.
Yeah,
because they felt like it kind of made fun of them. And in fact, by the time John Norquist was mayor, people were actively talking about how we had to cut ourselves away from Laverne and Shirley. But we just embraced, you know, and well, because, you know, we wanted to be sophisticated and, you know, have coffee shops and things like that. And, you know, I mean, what it comes down to, I think the Bronze Fonz is a great example of Milwaukee learning to lighten up.
Yeah. Oh, that's very well said. And that was actually my next question, was did people warm up to it? I would have given anything to have seen Potsy and Ralph Malph walking around downtown Milwaukee. I wish I had known this was happening.
Anson Williams was like here for like a couple of days. Jim Stingle, our great columnist at the paper for many years, hung around with him and with Cindy Williams, I think, for a while the day before. And he went to the Hartley Museum and things like that. And, and he's performed here before. You know, he's from that age where they still, you know, touring with theater productions and stuff like that. So
he had those golden pipes too that we heard at Arnold's. He was always
He was supposed to be the focus of the show. It was Richie and Potsy, that show did not end up the way it started. I mean, it started, first of all, it wasn't set in Milwaukee when it started. The first season was like a mid-year replacement, and it was just a generic city. And that one of the producers was Tom Miller, who was from Milwaukee. And he said, yeah, that was when like the Waltons were big and Mary Tyler Moore had gotten big and Bob Newhart. And they were all set in cities, not New York or Los Angeles, but like a real city.
Yeah.
He said, well, why don't we have it set in Milwaukee? So they frantically threw up Braves pennants and made references to it once in a while. They never came here, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, and it was a surprise to Milwaukeeans too. We didn't know what was coming. But it became something that we have obviously embraced.
It was pretty cool because I saw it in the pictures you had that went with your article that Gary Marshall was there too. That he's a big fish, man. That's of all the people, aside from Henry Winkler, he's probably the one I would have wanted to meet the most. But what do you think?
You know, Henry Winkler is going to be in town.
Oh, really?
In Milwaukee, he's doing a book thing in a couple of weeks at the Oriental Theater.
Oh my God, he's going to pack the place.
He is going to pack the place.
That's really cool.
I don't think he's doing a signing, but it's worth checking out online. We've written about it. So,
okay. All right. We got to do a quick thing here. I'm not even done. I have another Fonz question for you. All right. Chris Foran is here. We're going to pick it up with Fonzie, and then I promise we'll move on. Anyone who's bored of Happy Days. I don't know how you could be, but Chris from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here. We'll be right back with more. A Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah.
That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So Tom from New Berlin is clarifying. He texted the guy from the sitcom. I don't know, I can't find it. Get too many texts. But he said Mr. Wendell had a song. You see that, Conrad?
No.
No. Okay. Good work. He's over there. What are you doing over there? Eating a Lunchable?
I've never seen the show. I thought that's what you meant.
I haven't seen the show either. I can't even find the text. We got a lot of responses on this. It's great. Chris Foran is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chris, do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song?
Yeah, I saw you were doing that. I unfortunately, mine, a lot of them go back to the early 80s MTV era.
Yeah.
They were just, when they were just frantically throwing up any video they could possibly get. And when I saw that, the first one that came to mind was a song by, I believe they're a Swedish duo called Eben Ozen, called A-E-I-O-U, Sometimes Why.
Oh, wow. I don't know that one.
It's pretty silly is what it is.
That works. All right. So let's put a button on this Happy Days talk with Milwaukee. Yeah. Do you think it's strange, Chris, when like I always see people post when they go to New York, they take a picture in front of Monica and Rachel's apartment building outside.
Right.
It's not even, it's B-roll. The actors have never even been there. It's like,
right.
I find that I get why people do it. Maybe I would do it. I don't know. But it's kind of the same thing with Milwaukee. It was set there, but I don't think they ever filmed anything there.
No, they never filmed here. There aren't even like that. There aren't even like B-roll shots on Happy Days. And on Laverne and Shirley, there's a shot of City Hall.
Okay.
In the opening credits. I mean, they live in a sub-street level apartment. There may be four of those in the entire city of Milwaukee, all of them right. Parallel Avenue. The connection was this producer, Tom Miller, who it was an idea that he came up with, and Gary Marshall got involved. He based some of this, like Arnold's is based on the old Milky Way Drive-In on Port Washington Road in Glendale, not too far from me. And they never came here. Ron Howard and Anson Williams came here for a promotional tour a couple years after the series started. And that might be the only time Ron Howard has ever been here. None of them had been here really before that 2008 thing. And I think a couple of them have been here since then. I don't know that. I think Winkler has been here a few times on like book tour type things.
Yeah.
But they don't do that kind of stuff anymore. You know, in the old days, they did that, you know, personal appearances and things like that. They don't do that anymore.
Right. What do you think is a better
show? But yeah, the show had nothing to do with here. It could have been Jupiter. Right.
What is your favorite statue, Fonz or Rocky? Speaking of fictitious characters in big cities.
Fictitious character statue. I actually like the Mary Tyler Moore statue in downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, that's a great one. But that was filmed there. Like in Rocky ran up the steps. Like they actually filmed that there.
Right. Well, I think movies do more of that than television.
That's true.
I mean, I would bet, and I don't know this because I haven't read enough history on it, but I would bet that except for the opening and closing credits, that there's not a whole lot that was shot in Minneapolis
right.
or Mary Tyler Moore either, or Bob Newhart in Chicago.
I forgot about
that.
That's just how TV works.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a few other sitcoms set in Milwaukee or set in Wisconsin. I just finished watching the new season of That 90s Show, and it's set in a strange city called Point Place, and they've never filmed here.
So. All right, one last Fonz thing for you. Speaking of Ron Howard, okay. I didn't know this. I read this recently, and I thought it was interesting. Two of who are considered the nicest guys in Hollywood, Tom Hanks and Henry Winkler, do not get along. They don't like each other. And Ron Howard is friends with both of them. Yeah, apparently, when they were making Turner and Hooch, I think Henry Winkler was directing it and made a joke about Turner and Hooch that Tom Hanks did not like. I'm not sorry, Turner and Hooch, but of Bosom Buddies, that Tom Hanks did not take to because it was a sitcom. And Hanks had Henry Winkler replaced on the movie. Henry Winkler did not finish the film. And Ron Howard said, they're both great guys. They're both good friends of mine. And it's really weird. They just don't. You know, what a weird position to be in between two of who are
some people are really sensitive about Turner and Hooch, you know.
I know I am. All right, let's move on. This is funny. Okay, so the article you also wrote about a documentary that's coming out called Just a Bit Outside, and we're going to have the documentary the documentary and the director on the show. What can you tell us about that? I know it opens in September, but it sounds like a really cool film.
Yeah, I actually only know a little bit. I mean, what I've written really it's a documentary about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, and it's playing in, I think it's only playing in Marcus Theaters, and probably only in Wisconsin. And it opens in theaters on September 13th. One thing that's intriguing to me about it is, and I've written about the 82 Brewers a few times in my Wayback Machine stories that I write, is that at least from the trailer, it suggests that it's going to be about as much about how the city embraced the Brewers and the Brewers embraced the city, because the timing of the Brewers winning the pennant is interesting in Milwaukee, because the early 80s is a time of incredible change here, and all the, you know, the year before Brewers went to the World Series, Schlitz shut down for good.
Oh yeah.
You know, we had Pabst went up for sale. The big layoffs were starting at the big manufacturers who by the decade ending were gone. A.O. Smith, Alice Chalmers, companies like that. And the city was in a very difficult spot. And we had the horrible death in police custody of Ernest Lacey the year before all this happened. And there's lots of things going on here. It's a really fascinating time. And yeah. I'm hoping that that's come through. I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping to see it pretty soon. But
yeah,
it's a good subject, and it's clear from what I've read that they talked to just about everybody they could talk to. You know, that obviously Harvey Keen is gone, but they talked to all the main players. It'll be interesting to see how far they go with it. It was an interesting time. I was in college in Milwaukee at that time, and it was. An interesting time to be here.
Very cool. I don't mean to make you rehash all the things you've already written, but I like talking to you about them, and they're interesting articles. So if you can hang for a few minutes, we'll talk some TV and movies if you can hang with us for a little bit.
Sure.
All right. Fantastic. Sure. We've got Civic Media award-winning news coming up next, and then we will be back with our friend Chris Foran. We'll talk movies and TV. He's seen some good stuff, and we will break it down and discuss it and see what we can recommend. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every day the sun would shine, take me to another place in my mind, where everything is beautiful,
and no wants to need
no sun.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Maggie Dawn.
The dozen Republican White House lawyers who served in the administrations of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush just endorsed Kamala Harris?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle the scent of her privates.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.